This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, let's talk to Mike Griffith, Dog Nation. He joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, thanks so much, man, on a Friday. We've been talking a lot about all this stuff that's been going on in college football. I just want to start with this case that has yet been decided. And what are you hearing about ultimately where this is going to go, whether the salary cap, the limitation of players, and how this is going to affect college football? I know Kirby's talked about it, but everybody's just kind of waiting right now in limbo to see what this decision is going to be, right?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You were just talking about baseball and the Pirates being 26 in payroll. And, you know, yeah, we're going to put this salary cap down eventually on everybody. But we know there's going to be haves and have-nots, right?
Right.
We know there's going to be the Texas and Ohio State being the equivalent of the Yankees and the Dodgers with their money. And you just kind of, where does Georgia fall? 5, 7, 9? I just kind of, the wheel's spinning a little bit. So, yeah. So what's happening right now is the judge wants these roster limits to be grandfathered in, right? So we know that part of the plan is to lower the roster limits, and that means that a lot of kids that were on partial scholarships or were walk-ons no longer have those opportunities. And the judge is like, whoa, you know, this is a lot at once. I mean, I think you're talking like 5,000 athletes in all of college athletics that suddenly, you know, don't have a spot. And so she wants this to be, well, can we maybe grandfather this in? Like maybe we'll cut it from, you know, football from 130 to 105 over 2 or 3 years or in these phases or, you know, some of these non-revenue sports. Well, the problem is when she gave the preliminary approval back last fall, everybody's like, cool, we're on board. And everybody starts moving and shaking. You know, kids that are saying, man, I may not have a spot next year. I need to go somewhere else. I need to go to another school and find another slot. Coaches saying, hey, you know, you're not going to be back on the team next year. They're making moves and staff sizes or changes. And everybody's adjusting to what they think is going to be approved. And now we're going, well, actually, maybe not. Well, what do you do? Does a kid go back from one school to the other? Well, that's kind of complicated. He's already enrolled somewhere else, right?
Right.
So it's a little complex in terms of how does that go into effect and, you know, who carries that burden and do schools maybe allow for this? You know, but the flip side of this that I think a lot of people are missing, and I was covering the SEC tournament here in Athens, the softball tournament this week, is this is not considered a bad thing because you say, okay, so maybe, and I'm throwing some numbers out there, I don't have them exactly dialed in, but let's say the baseball roster goes from, I don't know, 38 to, you know, 30 or whatever. Well, now instead of having to split up 12 scholarships from 30, you're going to have 100% scholarships. So you're going to have kids that are on full scholarships. So the ones that are on the team, you know, they don't have to work part-time jobs anymore. They're on a full scholarship now. Like Georgia was talking about adding 100 scholarships as a result of this plan. And you go, well, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. So there's kind of a flip side to this that a lot of people aren't considering. But here nor there, the judges asked these attorneys to present this other approval, and that's kind of what they're throwing down is, you know, hey, you know, this, you know, but ultimately, This is something else everybody forgets. It's up to the coach who he wants on his team.
Right.
Nobody's entitled. We're in this society now. I'm entitled to this. You're not entitled to anything. They'll
true.
Decide if they want you on the team, man.
Right.
Like, you don't just – like, I want to walk into a Fortune 500. I'm entitled to this. You're not entitled. We got to hire you. We got to decide we want you on the team. You got to be productive. You got to have a place. So there's an element of common sense that's been lacking in this.
Right. And we know that Kirby, as we said, that balance of like, hey, you know, I mean – you got to find guys that actually do have a true passion for the game and understand they will be getting the best coaching. They will be like Nick Saban's Alabama and get to the league. One thing about this whole process, Mike Griffith, by the way, from Dog Nation here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, does this empower the NCAA? Because we were all ready to put a stake in the heart of the NCAA. Are these guys going to be back as the cops of all this crap and basically patrolling the salary cap?
No, they're not. The NCAA is pretty much, I mean, it's figurehead operation that runs the NCAA tournament. I mean, for the most part, the power conferences and college football playoff committees got control over college football, and the non-revenue sports are, you know, they're money losers, right? That's why they're called non-revenue.
But who polices it, though? But how do you know? How do you know, like, you know, at Auburn or LSU isn't...
You bring up Auburn?
I'm just, why? Because it was easy, you know, or whoever, or insert school here, Florida, you know, aren't throwing a lecture in the envelope.
Yeah, no, I got you. So what they're going to do, so the $20.5 million quote-unquote cap, which is essentially 22% of the estimated revenue of these schools, this is sort of a revenue-sharing plan, the $20.5 million cap is going to be universal. The wild card in this is going to be the deals outside of the $20.5 million cap. For example, Georgia just got this commitment from Jared Curtis in Nashville, and everybody's freaking out like, oh, my gosh, you know, you're going to have another high-dollar quarterback, and what's that going to do to the salary structure within the team? Well, most of Jared Curtis's money isn't going to count against the cap. It's going to be one of those outside deals based on his, quote-unquote, fair market value.
Mm.
And this is where it gets fuzzy, because what's fair market value? Georgia decided that Carson Beck was worth $4 million after the 2023 season. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Tennessee had this quarterback, Nico, gets him in the playoffs, beats two out of the three rivals, gets his helmet busted up, gets a concussion, goes through spring drills, and they say, yeah, nah, you're not really worth the money. So we're not going to pay it to you. So Nico's like, well, you know there's another portal here, guys. And Tennessee goes, yeah, we're going to cut off our nose to spite our face. We're not going to pay an extra $2 million to return a starting quarterback. And everybody says, no, wait a minute, Griff. Wait a minute. We don't think he was worth that. And he signed a deal. And he had years left on that contract. You know what? So did Rick Barnes 2 years before. He had a contract. He had a multi-million-dollar buyout. And he said, you know what, Tennessee, if you don't make me the second highest paid coach in college basketball, I'm going to UCLA. And Tennessee, oh, Rick, we love you. Here's all your money, even if you haven't got us to a Final Four yet.
He doesn't. Right? He doesn't win enough. He doesn't win enough. Go ahead.
And he had a buyout. He had years left on his contract. Kirby Smart's got years left on his contract, and he renegotiates. Guys, we're in a world now where the college quarterback, because there's only so many of them to go around, you're going to have to renegotiate. There's a going price now for a college football playoff quarterback. Nico was a top 10 NIL guy going into last year. And again, he got Tennessee in the playoffs. He beat two out of the three rivals. He played through a cracked helmet. You know, you guys saw that game. He got his butt kicked. And everybody's like, oh, really? It was really about the Tennessee running back. Oh, you mean the one that tapped out in the Georgia game that took himself that guy? It was really about him, huh? Not the quarterback that was getting his ass kicked every week.
Okay. It's a great point, Mike. And speaking of Jared Curtis, how excited should Dawg fans be? Look, I'm not going to tell you he's not going to be great, but, you know, we've seen this, right, where they get the five-star. They get the allegedly best quarterback in the country, and it just hadn't panned out. Kirby's not putting guys in the NFL, and that's not a knock on the program. The program is great, but this is one position that my friends and I continue to talk about where we go, okay, they've had some good guys, but they haven't had, like, incredible quarterbacks that have come through the last few years.
Man, that's a tough one. So two-part question there. So, yes, they should be excited because, look, you guys are in the business. You do this stuff every day. Perception becomes reality. And right now, Georgia has the number one quarterback in the 2026 class, and they're on the verge, it looks like, of getting this tackle. So everybody wants to be part of a good thing. You generate some momentum. You're on the upswing now. You've got this number one quarterback whose fair market value will be very high outside of that $20.5 million cap. Because of the quarterback ranking, he's going to be able to cut an outside deal that's going to pass the smell test for Deloitte, this third-party agency that's actually going to be the cops on these outside deals and what passes the sniff test and what doesn't. So yes, it's a good thing. It's momentum. It's the program moving in the right direction. It's another five star. But let's dial it back here. Let's be fair. If Justin Fields would have stuck around and been willing to play behind Jake Fromm in 2019, he probably could have won a national championship at Georgia in 2020. Certainly 2021 mm-hmm. and 2022. Justin Fields could have won those titles. Stetson Bennett won. Jake Fromm could have won those titles in 20 or 20.
Well, not Jake Fromm. Maybe Fields. Not Fromm. But, you know, Fromm wasn't that good.
I think a lot of quarterbacks. No. I think Carson Beck. I don't think Stetson Bennett.
Carson Beck can't beat Alabama. Come on. Stop it. Stop it now. You were on a roll. You're on a roll until you started throwing that out there now. Come on, Griff.
I think Carson – well, listen, you get Carson Beck some receivers that catch the ball. That Alabama game's a little different. Now, Colby Young, 6'4", got beat by a 5'9 corner.
Yeah, but he also throws to the guys in the other numbers, too.
We'll see how the Carson Beck story pans out. He's making a lot of money in Miami right now.
He is. Wait, though, Mike. You think he's way better than what we saw last year with Georgia, is what you're saying? Beck?
I think he's better. I think he's better than his numbers if guys catch the football, for sure.
All right. Keep going, though. Keep going. What else? Because you were talking about this and from the scope of the Curtis situation. All right, keep going.
Yeah, so I think Carson Beck's an NFL quarterback. And I think if he doesn't drive, this is the really interesting part. I'm going to go off on a tangent here because I don't know if people really thought about this. If Carson Beck doesn't stick a Lamborghini on Instagram and carry a Louis Vuitton bag, and the 6'4" wide receiver beats the 5'9" freshman at Alabama for that pass, it's a different story. If you want to compare Carson Beck off the field to Stetson Bennett off the field, we can have that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to compare the talents of Carson Beck,
there's a clutch gene that Carson Beck didn't show. I mean, Stetson Bennett is just clutch. I mean, you can't quantify it. He is more clutch.
Guys, let me tell you, Jim McMahon was clutch too. You know what else he had? The 85 Bears defense. You give me the number one defense, I'll be clutch for you.
But Stetson Bennett, after he has a turnover in the Alabama National Championship game in Indiana, they go right down the field. He makes gutsy throws. I mean, like the second championship was what he did against Ohio State in that second half. I mean, let's be honest.
Fourth quarter.
I mean, come on.
Where was he in the 2021 SEC championship game when he couldn't get a first down in the second quarter? Part of the reason they beat Alabama in the national title game is they kept the Heisman Trophy guy out of the end zone for three quarters. You're playing Alabama now with the defense you got right now. Georgia's 10, 14 points behind going in the fourth quarter with the defense they got right now. I mean, you got to keep it real here. Stetson was clutch, and Stetson did make plays, but Stetson made a lot of mistakes, and he had a number one defense on the other side of the ball. Carson Beck did not have that.
Yeah, but Carson Beck turned the ball over every single time in the Texas game. They had to get back on the field, and they gave it right back to him, and he turned it right back over. So, I mean, with all due respect, Carson Beck is nothing special. And, I mean, I'll bet you a steak dinner Carson Beck does jack down in Miami.
I'll bet you a steak dinner Carson Beck does more in the NFL than Stetson Bennett.
That's a different argument. We're talking about what's he doing in the college game. You change it, you move the goalpost.
No, we're talking about different teams and different defenses and different supporting cast.
Yeah, but again, now you're moving on to the NFL. Carson Beck is shown jack. Stetson Bennett won two national championships. I'm surprised by who covers the dogs. You don't give him the respect. Even half a Dog Nation wouldn't give him when he was doing all this amazing stuff.
So you're telling me every guy that played on that team was the best at his position because he was a two-time national champion? I hear what you're saying. You're right. Listen, Stetson Bennett was fantastic in the fourth quarter against Ohio State. Stetson Bennett made some great plays, made some highlight plays. But if you give Stetson Bennett the defense and the receivers that Carson Beck was dealing with last year, it's a different story.
We'll never know.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Stetson Bennett could have led last year's Georgia team to a national title with that receiving core and that defense?
Well, I don't know. He certainly would have thrown it to the other guys. I mean, he wasn't going to throw it. Carson Beck the season got off track in Tuscaloosa thanks to Carson Beck and Bobo's game plan. They should have run the ball, too. There's other elements to the equation.
Guys, I hate to jump in. I hate to jump in, Mike. Hold on, Mike. One second. We're coming back with part two of Mike versus Mike. No, we're not. Mike Griffith, we got to run, man. We are up against the clock. Seriously. Mike Griffith, man, we love your stuff. I'm glad you're able to come on and talk about.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This stuff, and brother, we're going to get you back on because you always keep it real with us, man. So thank you so much.
I just want to point out I did not take the popular side in that argument. I just want to point that out. The bus is going to run over me. I'm very well aware of that, but I'm just talking skill set.
No, it's good
only.
Stuff. It's a good
just
discussion.
Want to make that point.
Right. Well,
right.
Yeah, man. No doubt, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mikey.
Podcasting isn't just evolving; it's having a full blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.